You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. LT, host of the Lowdown, noon to two weekdays here on Sports 1440. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I think that Declan should probably try for the sourdough raft race. It should be coming up in a month or so.
Oh, sourdough raft race. All right. Yeah. Well, you got to be part of a team, I think, on that one, right?
Well, maybe he could do it solo. He's a gifted athlete.
Well, I love this. Nails to, hey, guys, if you're serious about Declan, it's a CBR, let me know. I got some connections. Well, we'll talk to him. Oh, that would be unreal. Hey, Deck, his thumbs up. Oh, he says yes. Oh, very casual. Getting him in there until all of a sudden he's like, these aren't steers. These are bulls, 2,000 pounders. Pretty quick. Pretty quick. LT, is there in your young days in Flagstone, Saskatchewan, what was the common uncommon sporting activity that you played as a youth?
Well, when I was in I lived in BC when I was little, and we used to play soccer a lot. That was my sport. But when we moved to Maidstone, I was like 10 or 11. We lived 17 miles north, and they used to play a game called broomball. Have you ever played broomball?
Oh, buddy, I love broomball.
Yeah, and but you know, those farm kids are stronger than the city slicker like me. So, like, I remember the first couple of times I played broomball, I remember I thought they're not actually trying to hit the ball; they're just trying to hit me, you know. And like, it's a fun game, but man, anybody who grows up on a farm is a lot stronger and tougher. Simply because of the chores that you do or whatever. But I like broomball. I did. I just didn't enjoy, you know, getting beat up every game because it was tough. There's tough kids out there, man.
Yeah. Well, you would have liked the broomball shoes, I think, eh, Al? That was like your favorite part of broomball, wasn't it?
I did. You know, I did like them. You know, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's very true. I know a lot of people, so we'll get to this quickly on the orders and we'll get to the Elks and other things. But, you know, Dostal got his contract 5 years at $6.5 million, and people are like, oh, how's that connected to Stuart Skinner? And, you know, people have got Skinner's like the worst goalie in the NHL and yada, yada, yada. I'm not in that camp. They're currently heading into this season. Skinner's going to be the 38th highest paid goalie in the league. So I don't care what anyone says. It's going to be a bargain deal. But there's 22 guys who make $5 million. Like, so when you look, so there's 22 of them, and there's only one, I think, who's younger than Skinner. So, like, it's inevitable that his next contract's most likely is probably going to start with a five at least.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. The only question is, and I mean, this is a question we can all ask ourselves, does he sign an extension with the Edmonton Oilers, or, you know, are they going to make a major move, you know, next summer? I honestly don't, like, right now, both Skinner and the Oilers are in a good spot. It's a kind of a one-year, let's see how this rolls kind of a deal. And, you know, it would be almost impossible for him to land south of $5 million next year. And just because of it, you know, he's played like 50 games three times. He's played 50 games in the playoffs. Stuart Skinner is a famous goaltender. And I know that you know, Oilers fans are, they've been staring at him and they're frustrated that the Stanley Cup isn't here. But this is a guy who is, you know, he's played deep into the playoffs. Yeah. Ask the Dallas Stars what they think of Stuart Skinner. I mean, if you're a Dallas Stars fan and you're listening to Oilers fans bitch about Stuart Skinner, you're like, what the hell are they talking about? And it's very typical of I think, fan bases. And I remember being mad at the Montreal Expos every winter. But when you stare at something and you go, well, this isn't working, then you're close to it and you're upset and you're emotional. But if you look at it just from the point of view, how many games has he played? How many series has he won? How old is he? He's still a young goaltender. This is a very valuable asset. I suspect the Oilers will sign him next year, and I suspect that Oiler fans won't be happy with the price unless there's a Stanley Cup. But man, what's coming up behind him, for God's sake? You got to, the idea that you're going to, you know, somehow find a goalie off the goalie tree who's going to be better than Stuart Skinner is, and costing less than $7 million, is, I think, unrealistic.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Al Mitchell, joins us. LT, I know you know, been in baseball fantasy leagues for years. The MLB returns tonight. When you look at the Jays and you consider the amount of injuries they've had, how impressive is this season, and how many chips should they push in at the trade deadline?
This is one of the best seasons they've had, you know, in the last 20. I mean, in all honesty, this is a team that at the beginning of the year, during the winter, everybody was very critical of them. There was talk of the manager and GM and both being, you know, fired, and it was pretty ugly. And what are you going to do with Guerrero? He'll never sign. Bichette's gone. And remember, they're in a division with the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees, and they're in first place at the All-Star break. This is huge. It's a massive story. I think they should be, they got a nice group of prospects coming up, but I think they should be aggressive. At least one bat and one arm, I think, because they you don't get here every year to the All-Star break. And the Yankees could go on a hot streak, but the Red Sox have already gone on a hot streak, mm-hmm. and they still didn't catch the Jays. So, like, I mean, I would if I were them, I would be extremely aggressive because it might be 5 years before you get another chance.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think they need two relief pitchers because they got so many injuries, right? That's kind of where I look at it, right? They've had a lot of injuries of late, and that's, you know, you need depth in your bullpen. There's no question about it. Bullpen guys from week to week, you don't really know what you're going to get sometimes. So, and it can be great, and then it can be a struggle, and then it can be great, and then it can be a struggle. So, I just think it's an opportunity, and I like what you said. Like, I would go for it. Now, we had Buster Olney on, and he had an interesting point that he doesn't think the Jays' minor league system right now is that deep, and that might impact on what they can get in return.
Well, that's fair, but they're at the lower A ball. They've got you know, a couple of guys, an arm and a shortstop, and then they got Martinez, Arelvi, I think you've pronounced his first name, Martinez, who's not bad at how much of that you want to give up, right? Like, Bichette is a player that I mean, last we talked about him, he was on his way out of town. I don't think that's true now because they're in it. But if they're willing to give up their top end guys, like one or two of those guys, I think they'll get a good enough player. And it also depends. Right now, it looks like it's going to be a seller's market because, you know, there's so many teams that are involved in the wild card race, but that could change in a hurry. You know, like, how many weeks away are we? Not that long.
No.
But a lot can change in the next little while. You look at a team like the Minnesota Twins, they've got some bullpen arms that are really good, Griffin Jacks. I honestly think that the Jays set up pretty nicely here to get at least an arm, but hopefully a bat too. Or Santander comes back, and I mean, I don't even know if he's hitting yet, but they need him. They need the lefty bat that Santander has.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And the Jays are off to another good start tonight, Al, in taking on Verlander, and they're already up 3-0 early in the second inning. One last one. What did you make of that Toronto-Vancouver trade?
I liked it for Toronto. I think they offloaded a tough guy who didn't play much, and now they get Joshua, who, like, I mean, I don't know what Vancouver's doing. That's a guy, I don't think they would have ever traded him to Edmonton, but that's a guy Oilers fans would love, and they'll love him in Toronto. They will. He can play it. And he's, you know, you might look at the price tag and go, geez, bottom six guy, that's a little bit. But, you know, it isn't that bad. They lost Marner, and they lost a lot of money, but that's a guy who can play. I actually really like what Toronto's done. They obviously have to find some goals to replace Marner. Mm-hmm. But to me, the Tavares signing was a really good one. He gave them a great break there. And this Joshua trade, I think, is really good.
Al, have yourself an awesome weekend. And we will chat with you on Lundy.
All right. Be good, boys.